Congress, fresh off the midterm elections that gave Republicans control of the Senate, returns to Washington to debate whether the president is waging an illegal war against ISIS. That's the view of Kentucky Senator and possible presidential candidate Rand Paul. He argues in an opinion piece in the Daily Beast that President Obama never had the constitutional authority to send any members of the military back to Iraq. Just last week, the president approved sending another 1,500 military advisors and trainers to fight ISIS, and he says he'll seek new authorization from Congress. Senate Democrat Chris Murphy of Connecticut appeared on CNN yesterday and said Congress must vote on new authorization.
Tomorrow, I would argue, the 60-day War Powers Act clock expires. Tomorrow is 60 days since the president announced his initial strategy. Congress has a constitutional responsibility to authorize this. I do not think the president has the ability under current authority to authorize 1,500 troops without Congress acting. So my hope is...
Charlie Mattesian is the politics editor for NPR, and he joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Sasha.
So the president insists he has the power to send troops under the Constitution and under the authorization for use of military force law. We heard Rand Paul and Chris Murphy's view on that. How is the president's position playing in Congress overall?
The issue over the nature and extent of the American engagement in Iraq and Syria is one, as you know, that's been percolating for some time now in Congress. And we've seen voices on both sides of the aisle asking pretty serious questions and expressing some frustration about whether the 2001 and 2002 authorizations actually justify this use of force and whether they still apply. Now that the president has said on Wednesday that he'll seek specific authorization from Congress for the military campaign against the Islamic State, I think we'll see the debate begin in earnest. But it's not quite clear that it's going to take place in the lame duck Congress this year or whether it's going to get taken up next year. And that's a key question. House Speaker John Boehner, for example, has said that it should be taken up by the newly elected Congress next year, not by a Congress with lots of members on their way out the door this year.
Another timing issue is that the chairmanship of the House Armed Services Committee is expected to be taken over by John McCain. What does that mean for President Obama's military agenda?
Well, I think it's no secret that Senator McCain can be an ornery fellow, and not to mention a senator who can be sharply critical of the president. So I think we're probably going to see him take a fairly vigorous posture in confronting the administration over its strategy in Iraq and Syria. But I think we also know that he's been tough on defense contractors and on the Pentagon acquisition process. So I think we'll also see a good bit of oversight from the committee on issues like curbing defense cost overruns. And I think there's one more thing that's worth noting here, and it's that the senator is an advocate of reversing or replacing the budget cuts that take place under sequestration. And I think overall, the bottom line is that Senator McCain is someone who's been a key player on military and national security issues for decades now in Congress, and he's also a former Navy pilot and a former prisoner of war. So he's going to cast a very big shadow on defense policy.
Charlie, in your reporting, you've identified some states that will suffer and some that will benefit from the shifting of committee chairmanships resulting from last week. Tell us about who wins and who loses.
That's a good way to put it, because some states win and some states lose as a result of elections like this, because with every new Congress, power ebbs and flows for state delegations. And that's certainly going to be true with this new Congress. We'll see examples of that as a result of retirements and election results and changes in the balance of power in the Senate. A good example might be to pair the states of Michigan and Texas, and that because they're a good example of how it works in practice. Michigan, for example, thanks to lots of retirements, just lost a handful of very powerful House and Senate committee chairs, and they had clout over wide swaths of policy. Now they're going to be replaced by a group of rookie congressmen who are going to take years to accumulate that kind of clout. On the other side, you can take a look at a state like Texas, which is suddenly poised as a result of the election and as a result of some members who are accumulating seniority. They're suddenly poised to have committee chairmanships in areas ranging from armed services to agriculture to financial services to homeland security. And so that's ultimately going to be very good news for Texas interests.
Now, some of the races from last Tuesday's midterm elections haven't even been decided yet, right? So how will that shape up in the weeks ahead?
Yeah. You thought the elections were over, didn't you, Sasha? It's not exactly true. There are still two Senate races to be decided, one in Louisiana involving Senator Mary Landrieu that's not going to be decided until a December runoff. And then there's another Senate race in Alaska where the votes are still being counted. And I think what that means is that the size of the Republican majority in the Senate could still grow depending on the outcome in those two races. And then in the House, there are still five races that are too close to call. Three are in California, one in Arizona, one in New York. And ultimately, what that means, I think, is that when all the dust is settled and when all the votes are finally counted in those places, the size of the new Republican majority in the House could still grow by a couple of seats.
And Charlie, in about the 30 seconds we have left, your quick prediction on how smooth or not smooth the confirmation will go for the president's nominee for AG, Loretta Lynch.
Well, I think it's going to depend on when the vote takes place, Sasha. And what I mean there is Republicans want it to be take place in January, the new Congress. Democrats, I think, would like to see it take place in this Congress. And I think depending on when that gets debated, that will determine just how smooth or not smooth it will be.
That's Charlie Battesian, NPR's politics editor. Charlie, thank you.
Thanks, Sasha.